Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I can imagine that Houston sports fans are feeling like the gum on the bottom of my shoe, your shoe, JJ Watt's shoe. Ouch. It's probably true that it could get worse. Every time I use that phrase, there generally is a way that things could get worse. So I try not to utter, man, things couldn't get any worse. Because it's like opening the door just for the worst possible thing to happen. Don't ever speak that out loud. I try not to. But right now, it's a semi-serious question. I say semi-serious because it's only sports. Are there teams closer to rock bottom than the Houston Rockets and the Houston Texans? The only reason you can't say the Texans is because they still do have Deshaun Watson, though he's vowed never to play another game in a Texans uniform. And here are Texans fans, Houston sports fans, already having to endure DeAndre Hopkins catching passes from Kyler Murray, who's not as good as Deshaun Watson. And now J.J. Watt takes a private jet to his new NFL home, and it just happens to be the same place as DeAndre Hopkins. Ow, just take that knife and twist it and drive it in a little bit deeper. So yes, we can't call this a serious question because it's only sports, and we will survive. Sing it out loud, peeps. You will survive. But the Houston Rockets were dissed by one James Harden, and I don't know how many fans were really sad to see him go, but the team itself is in shambles because of the moves they made. First to go out and get Russell Westbrook, then to trade him away, then to allow James Harden to go where he wanted. And now they've lost 12 straight, longest skid since 2001. They just got blown out by the Cavaliers. That is not acceptable. In fact, that's humiliating. So producer Dave and I were talking about this before the show. Should we phrase the question where it's about the city? But I kind of feel like that limits our answers. So the question is, which teams are closer to rock bottom? Because you're not ever rock bottom unless you're done playing games. There's always a chance, right? So the Rockets could turn this around. Let's be honest. The Western Conference, especially the bottom half of the playoff standings, leave plenty of room for you to sneak in. The Texans do still have Deshaun Watson, so we can't say it's rock bottom yet. But are there teams closer to rock bottom than these two Houston franchises? I mean, sure, let's be morbid on our second night of the work week. Remember, it's just sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's always good to have you with us. Man, there's a lot happening. I feel like a broken record, but it is that time of the year again. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the fact that it's March and that the madness is nearly upon us. There's plenty of madness everywhere you look. That's sports as well as everything else in this world. And if I don't laugh, I will cry. So I might as well laugh about it. I ate sweet potato fries on Monday just because YOLO, and it was Monday, and so it was tremendous. And I pulled a mom move. Do any of you have moms who, if the food is slightly lukewarm, forget cold, but if it's slightly lukewarm, she will request that a new meal be brought out or request that it gets warmed up? The problem was the sweet potato fries that we ordered. We went out to eat. It was fun. The sweet potato fries that we ordered were cold. And I had been looking forward to them all weekend because I knew that we were going to this particular diner. And so I was all jazzed up for my sweet potato fries. And I couldn't stomach cold ones. So I pulled a mom move. I guess that makes me old. But I asked the waitress to get us a hot plate of sweet potato fries. And boy, were they worth it. We ate every single one of them, plus the pieces. So it was a good way to mark a Monday, because it was still a Monday. But March 1st, yeah, let that sink in. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Remember, Rockets fans, all hope is not lost. For the Texans, same thing. All hope is not lost. It's the offseason, for heaven's sakes. There's no place to go but up. That's a good phrase to use. It's a good spin on it. It's like the glass half full versus glass half empty. No place to go but up, baby. Now, generally, when you start to compare yourself to others, it turns into a bad exercise. Because there's always another team out there. There's always another human out there that's got something that you want. So it's, I guess it's time to be jealous of some other teams out there if you're the Rockets or Texans. But on the flip side, there's got to be a franchise that's in worse straits, in more dire straits than you are. So let's compare, shall we? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, we're going to call this our Twizzler Tuesday question. It's still my Monday. I know it's still your Monday for a lot of you. Some of you already moving forward into a Tuesday. Stop trying to jump the gun. But our second show of the work week, we say, go away Monday. And we welcome in a Tuesday. So we call it our Twizzler Tuesday question. Are there any sports franchises closer to rock bottom? Producer Dave put it in all caps. Than the Houston Rockets. And we'll hear a little bit from their new head coach. Gosh. Wonder how long that's going to last. As well as Victor Oladipo, who just turned down what was a fairly lucrative contract extension, though I can understand the idea behind it. He can make more money if he waits until after the season is over, because right now, in season, the Rockets can only offer him so much money. They offered him the max of what they could, but if they wait until the season is over, they can actually sweeten the deal. So I don't know why they would bother offering now, maybe just good business to see if they could get him to sign for a little bit cheaper. But regardless, he turned it down. So we'll hear from Oladipo and Steven Silas coming up a little bit later. Luka Doncic, he's not done celebrating his birthday. Now, in my family, we call it birthday weeks. So good for you, Luka. 22 years old, you get to celebrate your birthday week with yet another awesome performance, just one assist shy of a triple-double. And I told you last night that no player has had more triple-doubles before the age of 22 than Luka. In fact, he had 19 more triple-doubles than any other player at his age in NBA history. Speaking of James Harden, he and the Brooklyn Nets ended a dubious skid in San Antonio. Have a feeling that's going to be happening a lot this season with the Nets. And so we'll talk a little bit about the overtime victory for Brooklyn. Not quite on the Riverwalk, but one of the things San Antonio's known for. And then Zion Williamson, he's only 20. Man, this season, we are starting to see really what he is capable of consistently. All right, so in the past, we saw flashes of the brilliance. Or a couple of injuries here or there. He needed to lose some weight. He needed to get in NBA playing shape so that his physical body could withstand the rigors of an entire NBA season. This is not college. And I get it. He went quickly. High school, college, didn't even play a full season at Duke because of injuries. And then boom, right into the NBA. And his body wasn't physically prepared and ready for it. And a lot of athletes will tell me that's the biggest adjustment is your physical body. You have to work it into that shape and that condition where it's ready to withstand the pounding of an entire season. Because on every level, the pro version of your sport that you played in college is longer and more challenging. Now, in the NFL, we don't have back-to-back games, but you get the idea. You're playing more games. The season is longer. It's generally why you hear of young players hitting the proverbial wall, because they're, and a lot of times it's mental as well, but mentally and physically, they just never push their bodies as far. And so Zion Williamson really rounding into his own as a pro, and yet he's just 20 years old. I love how he plays basketball. I love that he loves to play basketball. We don't get to see his smile as much because he wears a mask in his post-game press conferences, but I can imagine he's flashing those pearly whites. He's so good for hoops. He's so good for the NBA. In fact, he was producer Dave's choice for the athlete we need to see more of in 2021, and I have a feeling no matter what you do, that's going to happen. And so we'll talk a little bit about the hard court, the NBA. But the big story, of course, is J.J. Watt making his choice. He loves to play with people on social media. And I love the interaction. As you can imagine, he gets hundreds of thousands of tweets every day. Every now and then he responds. But mostly, he's clever with his social media. He's fun with his social media. Going back a couple of weeks, one fan was giving him flack for, taking a day or two to decide where he was going to play football next. And he makes a joke about how it takes him an hour looking at DoorDash to decide what he wants to eat. So he was going to need a little time to figure out where he wanted to play next. Then you had this whole rumor. Now, I don't have a Peloton. Oh my gosh, I have a stationary bike. But it's battery operated. It is not digital. Man, it requires a lot of work. It actually is great for me. It's one of the ways that I've been able to stay in shape over the course of the last two winters, not having gym access anymore. So I love my old non-digital battery operated bike. It's not a Peloton. Anyway, there was this rumor going around that JJ or an account that was attributed to JJ Watt on Peloton, somehow it indicated, as if this would actually happen, in what world do you live in, that J.J. Watt would use Peloton to indicate which teams were his top three.
So that's bull.
Exactly. So I just can't believe anybody fell for that. And so you have this whole rumor circulating that he's using his Peloton account to tell fans which teams were in the finals. And he just tweets back, I don't have a bike. Relax. That's all he tweeted. So it's kind of funny. You had the John Clayton report last week, which he says got misinterpreted. Now, I only read a story summarizing his report, but he backtracked or clarified, whichever you prefer. And in Seattle, Clayton said, wait a minute. I wasn't telling you those were the three teams that JJ had narrowed it down to, only that those were the three most likely options. Well, Clayton got it wrong as well. It wasn't the Pittsburgh Steelers. It wasn't the Cleveland Browns. It wasn't the Buffalo Bills. Though the report out there is that the Buffalo Bills also made a very competent offer and that JJ was intrigued. I don't know if it came down to Arizona and Buffalo, which would be kind of interesting considering the Hail Mary finish with DeAndre Hopkins this year. Regardless, runner-up doesn't actually count in this particular... You don't get a trophy for participating in this particular game. JJ picks Arizona. And his course, as he puts on Twitter, is me. In fact, producer Dave, if you want to retweet that photo of JJ, if you guys hadn't seen it, it's kind of cool. He's lifting a lot of weight and he's wearing a Cardinals shirt. I wonder if he had to wait to make the announcement until he found a shirt. Do you think the franchise sent him the shirt or he went out and purchased a shirt? Or maybe he ordered it on the Cardinals e-store, like Cardinals store online. E-store is such a weird word. I don't even like it. Someone said to me earlier, e-learning. I was like, e-learning? That's also not cool. I don't like that term either. So he was wearing a shirt, a Cardinals shirt, and he was lifting, and the only caption was, source me. I like it. He's playful. He doesn't take himself too seriously. Though it's serious money for J.J. Watt. He said he wanted to go to a contender. Those were the reports around him, that he wanted to go to a contender. So I ask you, along with telling me which franchises are closer to rock bottom than the Houston Rockets. Oh, see, we didn't even do that on purpose. Does J.J. Watt make the Cardinals a Super Bowl contender? Or if you don't think Super Bowl, or you're not worried about Super Bowl, does it make them an NFC West contender? That division is stacked. It is no joke. It certainly makes the defense better if he's on the field. Let's be honest about that. And Arizona was already among the best defensive fronts in the league. They were tied for fourth with 48 sacks last season. Now you add J.J. Watt to the mix, and if you can play a full 16 games, paired with Chandler Jones, Syracuse, but former New England Patriot, now, of course, with the Cardinals for a few years, these are your top two sack monsters, not quite as cool as Cookie Monster, but sack monsters since 2012 when Jones was drafted. So Chandler Jones leads the NFL in sacks since that first round of the NFL draft in 2012. Second over that same stretch is J.J. Watt. Only a sack and a half behind the pace set by Chandler Jones. So you're talking about guys who can do some serious damage if they're on the field, if they're healthy. So DeAndre Hopkins is excited, as you can imagine. Life is good in Arizona. That was his tweet. J.J., meanwhile, hops on a plane with his wife because the owner of the Cardinals is also a pilot. Michael Bidwell is his name. Happens to own his own little jet. Well, it can't be too little because J.J. Watt's not a little guy. Not a whole lot out there other than J.J.'s tweets, but the Cardinals did manage to snag a quick video with their newest defensive star.
I'm very excited. My wife and I are very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwell, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help them win a championship. And the one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud. And I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea. So let's get started.
Coming up next, we're going to head to the desert and get all the deets with our Cardinals insider who will join us. But the reaction around the country, too, I think should be interesting. So I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Does adding J.J. Watt make the Cardinals an NFC West Division title contender? Does it make them a Super Bowl contender?
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I'm very excited. My wife and I are very excited to be here. Mr. Bidwell, Steve, everybody here has been unbelievable so far. And I'm just excited to get started. I'm very excited to get started, get to work, get to know the people of Arizona, and to go to work to try and help them win a championship. And the one thing that I can promise you is I'm going to work my ass off every single day to make you proud. And I'm very proud to be a part of the Bird Gang in the Red Sea. So let's get started.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one J.J. Watt with private jet engine noise in the background. Michael Bidwell allowing J.J. and his wife to hop a ride to the desert. And J.J. is now going to join DeAndre Hopkins, fresh off that Houston Texans roster, into the NFC West himself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome back to the show Howard Balzer, who publishes the All Cardinals site on SI.com and is also host of the weekly Hall of Fame radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Howard, your initial reaction to J.J. Watt choosing the Cardinals over what we'd heard was potentially a dozen NFL teams?
Yeah, it was surprise. I think it took a lot of people in Arizona by surprise that it was kept under the radar that much. But, you know, when you start looking at it and you see, you know, DeAndre Hopkins certainly went on social media recently and was kind of encouraging it. And I think just J.J. talking about Michael Bidwell and Steve Keim, when he mentioned Steve, he was talking about Steve Keim, the general manager. They can be very persuasive guys. And I'm going to suspect, I mean, we don't know the breakdown of the contract yet in terms of how it's structured. We don't know what other teams offered. But I think these guys came after him with a full court press, and they're very personable. They're very persuasive. They feel very strongly about what they're building here in Arizona. And I think that was a big part, I would guess, of why J.J. Watt decided to come to the Cardinals, because he truly – you know, it's one thing about getting the contract. It's another thing of truly feeling wanted and feeling that the team is doing all it can to try to build a champion. And so I think obviously there are other teams that have had deep playoff runs in recent seasons. The Cardinals haven't done that. But I think part of it could be, too, that he was looking for the challenge to help this team take that next step, which it looked like they were taking at one point last season, had a bad end of the season, and now they feel that they know what they have to do, they feel, to be able to get back to where they were at one point and to be able to maintain it and to get into the postseason.
Yes, you can tell J.J. Watt over and over how much he would be a great addition, not only his attitude and his 10 years, his individual hardware, three-time defensive player of the year, certainly the sacks, pairing him with Chandler Jones on that D-line. But in terms of the big picture for the Cardinals, what are the selling points? If he wants to play for a contender, what do you tell him, Howard?
Well, they were a contender last year. Now, I'm not going to go so far and say they were a contender for a championship, but we also know, Amy, that when you're in the NFL, if you get into the playoffs, then anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And they were a contender when they were sitting at 6-3 last year. And so I think they pointed to that. They looked and said, hey, we know where we fell down in that last part of the season, and we feel you can be a piece of that to improve it. And I think also this team is building a pretty good defense. And you mentioned pairing him with Chandler Jones. You know, the Cardinals play a 3-4 just like the Texans played. And J.J. is one of those guys who can play on the line in a 3-4 and still get pressure on the quarterback, but also help against the run, which is an area where the Cardinals need to get better at. And so he can do what he does on the line, and then Chandler Jones and the other guys on the edge behind him in that linebacker group can start to make things happen even better, they believe, with J.J. Watt in front of him, with Marcus Golden, who they brought in last year. We'll see if he re-signs. Hassan Reddick, we'll see if he re-signs. Of course, Isaiah Simmons, who they expect to take a big step in year two. So I think, you know, a combination of all those things are I would have to say, is what they convinced that J.J. Watt felt, hey, yeah, this is a team on the rise, and I want to be a part of that.
What happened at the end of last season?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons, like with everything. When you win, there's a lot of reasons. When you lose, there's a lot of reasons. And, you know, obviously they had some tough losses. I think part of it was Kyler Murray suffering some injuries, which rendered him not as effective as he had been in those first 9 games. He didn't run as much. There weren't as many design runs. I think that affected the offense. They played against some tough defenses. I think they know they need to improve the interior of the offensive line. I mean, they were 8-6 going into the last 2 games and lost games that were winnable against the 49ers and the Rams. And they just didn't match up well in those games with those 2 teams in the trenches on both the offensive and defensive line. And I think that's, you know, that's a big part of what they're doing here with J.J. Watt, adding to that defensive line to to be able to compete against these teams in the division. Because obviously, Amy, you can't have a chance at the championship in the league unless you do well in your division. And this is one of the tough, best divisions in the NFL. And they know they have to find a way to beat those teams to be able to get into the postseason.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Howard Balzer is with us from the Desert All Cardinals website on SI.com. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. And even as you talk about the Cardinals being a contender, yeah, if they're in a different division, we'll pick on the NFC East for a second. They win that division probably going away, but that's not where they are. They're in the West, and you can't expect that San Francisco will have another year with as many injured players as it did last season. We know that Pete Carroll and the Seahawks are always a contender because he is a maniacal coach. But just in general, you're talking about a division that's really difficult with the Rams, as you pointed out. And so I gotta imagine that this is going to be a great challenge for the defense. But in just overall, if you wanted to take the easy route, I guess this was not it.
No, you're 100% right about that. And that's, it's a tough road in this division. And it's interesting, you mentioned the NFC East. Obviously, they're not in that division, but four of the Cardinals' eight wins came against, they swept the NFC East. And so they're not going to have that fortune this year to play in a different division. So it's going to be a challenge. There's no question. They have a lot of other challenges too. With a bunch of players, I mentioned Hassan Reddick, Marcus Golden, Kenyon Drake, Patrick Peterson, is Larry Fitzgerald coming back? All those players are scheduled to be unrestricted free agents. And they don't have a lot of cap room. So they're going to have a challenge in terms of how they're going to put this roster together in the offseason. And there'll be other things they can do to save money against the cap, which I suspect will happen in the next couple of weeks. But they've got a lot of work ahead of them. Mm. And we know how tough it is in the NFL to begin with, much less to be in a division as good as the NFC West.
It's interesting because I don't know if you'd asked an average fan, what was their greatest need, that anyone would have pointed to their defensive line, right? But they get the superstar, and as you point out, it's a tough division. Your defense is so important. How would you rank their other immediate needs as you're talking about what they need to do in the offseason, Howard?
Well, I'll say first on the defensive line, they had games, Amy, last year because of injuries and a lot of other factors. They had games where they only dressed four defensive linemen, only had that many guys practicing during the week, and there were times when they didn't even have a defensive lineman on the field. They were playing six linebackers at one time in certain formations. So they definitely needed improvement there. But aside from that, I mentioned earlier, interior offensive line and in the back end of the defense. We don't know if Patrick Peterson is coming back. If he doesn't, the Cardinals, even with him coming back, they need help at corner. And in the secondary, except for Buda Baker, they had a lot of injuries last year, so they have to upgrade there. I think they need another wide receiver opposite DeAndre Hopkins. They didn't get the play out of Christian Kirk consistently that they thought they would have. So, those are all different positions and different areas that they need to be better, and it has to be throughout the entire roster, and they have to be more consistent. They beat themselves, as a lot of teams do when you lose, with penalties, pre-snap penalties, inconsistency. When that offense was humming, it was one of the better offenses in the NFL. Mm. But when it wasn't humming, they just couldn't do anything. I mean, those last two games of the year, as I mentioned, against the 49ers, trying to remember, they scored 12 points, and I think it was 7 against the Rams. So you're not going to win games, obviously, in this league scoring that few points, especially a team that was had a bunch of games where they scored 30 or more, but in key games, they just weren't able to get it done offensively when they really needed to.
Yes, Kyler Murray was injured. How much development did you see from him when he was on the field last season, Howard?
There was some very good development. There were some inconsistencies. There were some throws that he forced, but there was definitely a big jump from year one to year two. Now they're expecting that from year two to year three, even though I went on my site today and suggested that the Cardinals see, hey, let's see if we can make a deal for Deshaun Watson. That would really improve this team. And nothing against Kyler, but say, hey, you want Kyler? Bring him back to Texas. That's where he played all his football in high school and college. But I know it's a flight of fancy, but if he's back, they expect him to take another big jump in year three, and knowing that's going to, to produce probably another big contract. But still, he has to be more consistent throwing the football and not making those mistakes at key times. And But at the end of the year, he wasn't running as much because of the injuries, and that still is a concern. He's not a big guy. He's 5'10", and it's not just the height, but you know, they weren't major injuries, but they were enough to really affect him, I think, in that last part of the year. So they have to have that protection on the line, because I'll tell you something. There were games, Amy, where he was under siege almost as much as Patrick Mahomes was under siege in the Super Bowl. And as we saw there, even a guy as great as Patrick Mahomes can't get the job done unless he has that protection from his offensive line. And that's what has to continue to get better for the Cardinals.
Howard, you're a troublemaker. So just about 30 seconds before I let you go, I know you're a Hall of Fame selector. You host the radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Now that we've seen the list revealed, heard from some other selectors that it was a really difficult choice, but how do you like the 21 class?
I like it a lot, and it was difficult. It's difficult every year, and I think one of the things that makes it hard is when you have so many quality first-time eligible guys, and they took up three of the five spots. So that's tough for all the other guys who have been waiting and waiting and waiting and have to wait again, only two other players besides the first-time eligible. But it was good that John Lynch got in his eighth year as a finalist, Alan Faneca in his fifth year as a finalist. I think Tony Boselli will probably come in next year. But it was a very good class. But like I said, it's always tough when you have guys like Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson. It's very difficult for everybody else to get their due.
Howard Balzer on Twitter at HBalzer721, and he's the publisher of the Cardinal site on SI.com. Also has the weekly Hall of Fame radio show on Sirius XM NFL Radio. We're always glad to have you from the desert. Busy day, Howard. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
My pleasure, Amy. Take care.
Howard's been doing my radio shows much longer than I've been here at CBS Sports Radio, and he's really good at what he does. He's been in this business for such a long time and has great information. But Deshaun Watson to Arizona, how about no? I don't know, though. Maybe he would add that to his list. He's got the no trade clause. Maybe he's seeing that it's becoming the Texans West. Well, the Texans Southwest.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here comes Luka on the push the other way. Luka up the right side, between his legs, steps back, 4-3, hit it over Bacon. 4-3 in the game for Doncic, as the Mavericks, now owners of their biggest lead of the night after a 12-4 run over the last 2.5 minutes.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Luka Doncic, Dallas Mavericks. It's good to be a Mavericks fan right now. They are now above 500, and they're above 500 on the road. And the day after celebrating his 22nd birthday, Luka pours in 33, along with 10 rebounds, 9 assists in Orlando. A near flawless performance from him. And it seems like, as much as the Dallas Mavericks are interested in trading away Kristaps Porzingis, that there's still some fuel left in the tank. Maybe he's motivated by the fact that he is on the trading block. So Doncic had 5 triples, was 12 of 22 from the floor, but Porzingis himself also really instrumental in the second half. And this is kind of more what the Mavericks had in mind when they went out and they got KP. But overall, it's good when you can shoot better than 50% from the floor and when you can go 17 of 46 from downtown. Right now, this is a team that takes a lead at the half and runs with it. So it's hard to come back on them in the third and fourth quarters. And it was kind of fun to watch Doncic get out there as an old 22-year-old and throw some behind-the-back passes and some no-look passes. And he just gets more and more confident, which is awesome. So this was a quality win for them on the road. And as I've talked about, I'm going to continue to hammer this point home as we go through the final week until the All-Star game and then the All-Star break. It's really important that these teams kind of push all the way through until the break. You don't want to go into the break feeling like you left opportunities on the table. You don't want to go into the break feeling like you're not playing quality basketball, because then the break is not a mental break. It's not a real opportunity to relax and recoup. So the Mavericks have the same number of losses as the Warriors, but they've played two fewer games. So right now they've got two fewer wins and sit a game back in the standings, which is just outside of that number eight spot in the West. And I know they didn't start the way they wanted to, and they have come on strong here right before we get to the break. They've won eight of their last 10, but they got to keep going. They got to keep the pedal to the metal, because right now the bottom half or the lower portion of the playoff standings, right for the taking. I mean, there's a lot of teams in there that they could pick off if they put together another good run. Chuck Cooperstein with the call on the Mavericks Radio Network. So for Dallas Mavericks fans, things are looking up. For Houston Rockets fans, I know initially after James Harden was shipped to the Brooklyn Nets, there was, I think, a sigh of relief. I wouldn't call it euphoria necessarily, knowing that it was going to be tough sledding, but definitely relief and the feeling of no longer walking on eggshells in the locker room. And I can imagine for Steven Silas, the first-year head coach, that it felt like a weight had been removed from his shoulders, but it doesn't make it any easier for the team to win when you lose a player of Harden's caliber, even if he was dogging it, as Draymond told us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio as we get set to talk about the Rockets and how close they are hovering to rock bottom. We're asking you what other teams in sports right now are closer to rock bottom than are the Rockets. 12 in a row isn't insurmountable. Now, I don't have any designs on the Rockets making the playoffs unless they come out of this pretty quick. But it's certainly not a death blow, right, to lose this many in a row, especially when you consider, and this is crazy, but they're only seven games out of that number eight spot. But remember, the NBA has gone to the 7-10 type of a play-in tournament, and right now the number 10 team in the NBA is, the number 10 team in the West is the Pelicans. Pelicans and Grizzlies are right there. And so if you're looking at, actually, it's Mavericks 9, Grizzlies 10, Pelicans at 11, and then you drop down. But the difference in terms of games, the spread in games, is not as much as you would think, from number 10 down to number wherever the Rockets are, second from last. I'm not going to count all those while I'm on the radio. So it's not as though they're dead and gone and left to rot at the bottom of the hole. That's super morbid. But definitely, this is the worst the Rockets have looked in a long time. And they couldn't get Victor Oladipo to jump early on an extension. And they lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are in their own massive rebuild. And it's now their longest losing skid since 2001. So we're talking 20 years. Oh, Steven Silas, welcome to NBA head coaching.
Our roster, I mean, we haven't had Christian Wood in the whole, like, during the six-game winning streak. We had Christian. We were basically whole. We had our whole group. Throughout this losing streak, we've had, a mixed bag of some guys in, some guys out. A lot of injuries, a lot of, the back-to-back situations. A lot of, like, tonight, where Daniel House goes down. Eric Gordon isn't available. Like, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between the group that's playing on the floor now compared to the group that was playing when we were rolling.
It's tough. It's tough. I mean, every night is something new, something different. I mean, today we only have, eight players. So, I mean, it's tough for everyone. It's tough for everyone.
So you hear the voice of Steven Silas and then Victor Oladipo. And yes, their roster has been shortened because of injuries, guys who are unavailable. You look, though, at their losses, and some of them have been total blowouts, like bad. So that at the beginning of this losing streak, it was a 5-point defeat at the hands of the Spurs. Then they got blown out by the Hornets on the road. Same thing by the Pelicans in New Orleans. They lost to the Heat. They lost by 22 at Madison Square Garden to the Knicks. The Wizards beat them handily. The Sixers actually only edged them by 5 points. The Bulls beat them by 20. This is their second loss to the Cavaliers by double figures in the last five games. Right now, any team, including, listen to this, this might have been rock bottom for them. The Grizzlies beat them 133-84. So they're certainly missing personnel. But to add insult to injury, now you've got the Nets and James Harden as their next opponent in Houston. Ooh, coming up, what is it, on Thursday? Wednesday. And so now they get James Harden back in his old digs. You can only imagine what type of reception he would receive if it was going to be a full arena of fans. Of course, it won't. It's a kind of bummer that the Rockets fans get denied their opportunity to let James Harden know what they think of him, like last season when the Houston Astros hit the road, though they didn't have a full travel schedule. But fans of other teams that felt like they got gypped by the Astros cheating in 17, well, they didn't have an opportunity to let the Astros know how they felt about them when the Astros hit the road and landed in their stadium. So at some point, I'm sure the fans will greet James Harden loudly, not warmly, just loudly. So it's a tough stretch. It's a tough road right now. Like I say, to face the Nets almost feels like a cosmic joke. I mean, that's just, talk about unfair. Talk about piling on. 12 losses in a row. But what teams in sports are closer to rock bottom? Now think about it. There's injuries. There's a short bench. So it's not rock bottom for the Rockets. What teams are closer to rock bottom than these Rockets, minus it might be rock bottom when they take on the Nets coming up in a couple of nights? So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. In fact, producer Dave is retweeting a lot of your answers, already getting a variety, because we love to point out the deficiencies in our favorite teams. We reserve that right. Also on our Facebook page, we'll get to your calls and your thoughts on J.J. Watt next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.